When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. And Matt, typically when you get to this point in the season, it starts to become a battle of attrition in terms of injuries and things of that nature in the NFL. And, of course, the Steelers did not escape Sunday's game unscathed against the Bengals. Mason Cole leaves with what's being described as a mid-foot injury. We'll see how the Steelers center plays out. He's been dealing with that ankle/foot issue over the course of the season. They also lost Jaylen Warren in that game to a hamstring. And then, of course, who am I missing here? Miles Boykin. Miles Boykin also left the game early. And you would think, oh, well, it's just, you know, those three guys. And, you know, the Bengals obviously were without some guys themselves.
Sure.
Losing a guy like Mason Cole, though, in game is a big deal.
It is. First off, I want to just touch briefly on the other two because I've really, and I'm sure a lot of people have been really focusing on what are they going to do with their fifth skill position guy post Claypool. And my hunch is Boykin's in the mix. You know, like Sims and Gunnar Olszewski played 32, 31 snaps. And last week, Boykin played like 15 or so, which is most. So I don't think he can be just discredited as he's only a special teamer. I think he's sort of auditioning as well. We know Warren's been a good player. But Najee handled the major role.
Yeah,
you can pick that up. Yeah. You know, because of the style that Najee is. But I mean, I'm not a huge bettor or anything, but I bet $1 million. If you bet against every team that lost a starting center, you know, either the week before their game or during their game, they lose. I mean, just starting centers' responsibilities more than just blocking the guy in front of them are so vast that it's something you could never put a number on, but it hurts a team dramatically.
Yeah, and that's no knock on J.C. Hassenauer, but Mason Cole has played well. Obviously, the Steelers are starting a rookie quarterback. Mason Cole makes a lot of the line calls in the middle, with the rookie quarterback out there, and he right. would even if Ben Roethlisberger was out there. But if you have a veteran quarterback like Roethlisberger out there, they do that in conjunction with each other, sliding protections and things of that nature. In this situation, Cole's making probably 90% of the calls in those kind of situations.
Right. I mean, I promise you, and I'm sure Kenny would be the first to admit this, that Kenny leans on Cole more than Ben would lean on Cole. I mean, Cole would lean on Ben, or you know what I
right,
mean? Like,
right.
Pickett needs a veteran center out there. Like, if that was a first-round pick center in Pickett, it would probably be a disaster with calls because they're rookies.
Absolutely. So we'll see, how Mason Cole is we'll see how he's progressing here as the week goes on. They do get an extra day this week since the game is on Monday. As I mentioned before, he's been kind of dealing with this on and off with the foot issue for several weeks now.
I give him credit. He's battled through it well and has played well enough. I mean, he's not Pouncey or Webby or Dirk, but I mean, despite this injury, you can tell it's been bothering him now for months, has had a pretty good year.
Yeah. And, so I saw him today at the facilities. He was in a walking boot. But, again, that's nothing new. He's been in a walking boot on a lot of Mondays this year and then gone out and played the next week. So,
who knows? Yeah,
you just don't know. Obviously, there's some other major injuries around the league right now. The Ravens, once again, lose Ronnie Stanley. That's a big deal.
I hate to say this. I'm not picking on him, but he seems like the Michael Thomas of left tackles now. You know, like you have a big injury and, okay, I'm coming back, and you do for two games and then you're out. And, you know, like it seemed like there was a lot of those instances yesterday. I referenced the Charger-Chiefs game. Oh, Williams and Allen are back. Williams catches one pass and then he's done.
He ran four routes in the game.
Yeah, right. Makes a nice catch. Oh, difference maker. They're going to be a lot harder to play against. Re-aggravates the exact same injury. Is that going to be Stanley's career, unfortunately? It might be.
Yeah, if you remember, he signed that big contract, a new contract, 2 days before they played the Steelers or something like that. I think back in 2019. And he's played about six games since.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just
constantly hampered, and I mean, not to take the human side of it out, but eats up a ton of space. And how do I team build? Do I have a left tackle, or do we need a left tackle? You know, and I don't have cap space to use them. I can't trade them. Like, that hampers the team a lot.
Well, no doubt. Speaking of centers, Ethan Posick went down for the Browns, and this looks like it's a multiple week injury.
I didn't see that, and I remember previewing Steelers-Browns thinking, man, they're on their third center. Posick's becoming kind of a journeyman. Is he a center? Is he a guard? He was a tackle in college. But boy, he's been really good for them, and all the move-blocking, zone-blocking stuff that they do fits him perfectly. Like, they found something there that could be their long-term center, and now they lost him.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's some other injuries. Looks like, we don't have to worry about our situation at tight end anymore with Kyle Pitts because, well, the Steelers won't see him in a few weeks. He just went on IR. Looks like an MCL tear for him.
Yeah, and, I mean, we've talked about him in the third segment of our show over and over and over. Kind of to no fault of his own. Vastly underused, vastly under... productive wise, I mean, what he's capable of, I don't know what else to take away from it. In a way, it's kind of merciful that we don't have to watch that anymore.
Yeah.
It was maddening.
Now, this one doesn't involve a player that the Steelers will see this year, but it does involve a potential draft pick for the Steelers. Justin Fields injured his left shoulder yesterday. He's considered, quote unquote, day to day. Following an MRI on Monday. There's some talk, too, that they may end up shutting him down for a while. You know, it's the Bears. He's been their entire offense.
And really turning a corner, super hot name right now, of course, fun to watch. But you play with fire whenever you play that style as a quarterback. And I'm not sitting here saying, I told you so, or you know, that's the way it happens to everybody, but it's a tough way to live. I mean, in the Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson world, and guys get hurt. And that is good news for the Steelers, though. I mean, I think right now the Steelers would have the 34th pick in the draft because I think the Bears have number three. And so
I think they're number two.
Actually, are they?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the way I saw it.
Remember, the Miami Dolphins do not have a first round draft pick this year.
Right,
they had the third for that. So there are only 31 picks in the first round. So, you know, if you're a Steelers fan, you want to see as much trouble for the Bears as you can see. You know, so,
and this is a good start.
Yeah, this is definitely a good start. You don't want to wish an injury on any player like that, but certainly that's something worth noting. Of course, the Steelers.
I think right now the Steelers would have 8, 33, and 39.
Yeah. I think that is correct.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you can make some. You can do some damage with those kind of picks.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's a talk for another day, but that's some serious assets.
Yeah, and I think, and we probably both agree on this because I think we've always, when we do our mock drafts, at the when everything is over, the second round picks seem to be where you can really make some hay.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we get into our second round and we're like, oh, I really like this, you know, these 10 players that are available in the second round. We never have that issue in the first round, it doesn't seem.
No, you're right. And draft season, this comes up over and over that, you know, it seems pretty clear. I mean, I don't think the Steelers are going to win every game going out, but their first round pick at a minimum is going to be one of the 15 players in this draft. Not that I know this draft like the back of my hand. That's a first rounder every year.
Yes.
Every year there's 15, 18, 12, whatever. Maybe the Steelers aren't picking first overall, but they're going to get one of those. And most years they don't. Most years they're in the tier two, which is player 18 to 40 sometimes. Well, they might get two of those that are usually the tier of their first round pick.
Right. And so,
you know what I mean?
It does, you know, I know people
are shopping in different aisles.
Yeah, right.
It's totally different supermarket. Yeah.
You're not shopping at, well, I'm not going to pick out any stores, but you're not bargain bin shopping.
How about Hills?
Yeah.
I think Hills is
Yeah,
around.
Hills isn't around. Yeah. You're not shopping at Hills now. Now you're shopping at Macy's.
Exactly. There's nicer things, and you can afford it.
You can afford it. So you can get better quickly out of that. I know a lot of people looking at this team and are saying, well, they just got so many holes. I don't know if they have so many holes. I don't think they – put it this way. I don't think this team has as many holes as I thought it might when the season started.
Okay. I think that's fair.
Particularly if they re-sign a couple of the guys. I thought the offensive line would be a bigger problem than it is. It's not.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know what Ogunjobi was. I think we have a much better idea of that. It's not bad. Miles mm-hmm. Jack looks like a keeper at inside linebacker. We weren't sure about that.
Right.
You know, so I think that...
I mean, Edmonds has far succeeded at expectations, getting him late in free agency.
Right, right. So, I look at those things and I say, okay, I can narrow things down right now as we sit here on November 21st and say, those three Steeler picks... are probably, and I don't pick whatever order you want. Maybe mm-hmm. a left tackle.
Yeah.
Because then you can kick Dan Moore into left guard. I think he might be more suited to play that.
I agree.
A cornerback. If you can get a shutdown cornerback or even a very good cornerback, that would go a long way. And then I would look at maybe adding another defensive lineman.
I would too. Even if Ogunjobi were to come back. If, for people who don't know, some of the prominent free agents to be that I think will be under consideration strongly to return, Ogunjobi, Sutton, Edmonds, I don't know what the other corner situation is going to look like, but I think there's a good chance the three of them return. And if I were, even if I did sign Ogunjobi to a substantial deal, I'd still like to add Cam's replacement, you know what I mean? And maybe that guy's a second round project like Chris Jones was, or two it was, you know, a guy like that doesn't come into the league ready made, or heck, that could be the first pick if it's a stud from Georgia. I think a big press man coverage corner with traits, I mean, long arms, 6 foot, well built. Whether that guy's a second rounder and not ready for the league, or he's the first corner off the board with the 6th overall pick, it would be highly attractive. And I think the draft is where I want to go with that. And you mentioned Moore. Like, I think we could even live with this line as constructed.
Yes.
But yesterday aside, they've really hardly missed any snaps. So this still has a chance to go much worse with one more injury, two more injuries. And I would love, love, love to go into training camp with a highly talented, highly drafted left tackle. And he doesn't even have to be the starter on opening day, but you think he's going to be a starter soon, soon, soon. And Dan Moore's either fighting for the left guard spot or he's your third tackle. I mean, a swing tackle with Dan Moore's skills is unbelievably important in today's NFL. And you could throw out a 6th offensive line set and still have really good players on the field, or maybe even a center to compete with Cole, because if he's your better than BJ Finney that we always talk about, now I've got 7 guys that are all starters, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I get asked that a lot. Well, what are the Steelers going to pick in the draft? I'm like, those are the three spots that I look at and say, that's where you could get better.
Me too.
You know,
me too.
And I don't care what order it's in. Again, if the... you know, the first or second highest rated left tackle prospect is on the board when you're drafting, you're never in a position to get that guy.
Right.
You take him. If it's a top one or two cornerbacks, you're never in position to get that guy. You take him.
Never, ever, ever. You know? Right.
If a stud defensive lineman is there, you take him because you're never in that position to get that guy.
Yeah. I mean, if it was a freaky player, I'd even consider an edge. I mean, if he was a grade above any of those other three spots.
He'd have to be really, really good for me to take him, though.
He'd have to be really good. He'd have to be like Willie Anderson, which they're not gonna get,
which isn't going to happen.
Yeah, that probably isn't right. That probably isn't worth a talk. The other conversation, though, is the more I watch Sims and Gunner and those guys, another receiver is absolutely needed.
I'm sure they'll take one of those, but you don't have to do it. You can do that in round three or four.
They've
had, again, great luck getting those guys. I still like Anthony Johnson, Matt. Or Anthony Miller. Anthony Miller, I should say.
Yeah, we should not forget about him at all.
Can't forget about Anthony Miller. So we'll see how this all works out. But I still don't expect them to be picking higher than what they are right now.
I don't either.
I think is about as high as it can go right now. And I expect it to be between 8 and 15, 8 and 16, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they win 7 games, and that probably doesn't get you a top 8 pick.
Right. But you can live. I mean, again, with the needs that they have, you're probably not going to get the top offensive tackle prospect drafting at, let's say, 12. But you could. You're definitely not going to get the number one defensive tackle prospect.
No.
Down that low.
That guy might go at 3.
In this year's draft, you might get one of the top two cornerback prospects at 12.
You might.
You know, just because you're going to see quarterbacks go early, that's fine.
If you are picking 12, I say this because the roster is going to look dramatically different on draft day than it is now.
Like,
they're going to add the Wallace and Jack types from outside the organization that you may only have two of those three needs.
Right.
And maybe you say, here's 12 and 34. Can we get to 8 for the number one left tackle? You know, I mean, that's a possibility as well. The one thing I would like to see them get from outside the organization is a similar signing to Miles Jack at linebacker next to him, a veteran, you know, that's on his first contract or whatever, coming off his first contract or whatever.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think Devin Bush has played badly this year.
I don't either.
And if
even crazier about Spillane.
Yeah, if they were to re-sign Devin Bush, I wouldn't bat an eye at it.
I can live with it. I would like to see a better plan of how they use the inside linebackers, snap counts, situations.
Yes.
But if Bush comes back, just like Edmonds last year, I mean, he was a first-round player that they didn't pick up the fifth-year option, hits free agency, doesn't get as much as he thought. Wants to come back on a deal you like, I'm interested.
Yeah, I know everybody looked at that when they didn't tender him an offer. Folks, this is what happens, particularly now. You're going to see this more and more with those first-round draft picks. Those options aren't getting picked up because of the way that's now structured. You get big money. You get transition tag money as a first-round draft pick for that fifth-year option.
It's not as attractive to the team as...
And if you happen to go to a Pro Bowl, just a Pro Bowl, which...
is a low bar.
20% of the league goes to the Pro Bowl, or is voted to the Pro Bowl, or they're an alternate, and they go to the Pro Bowl because somebody else backed out. Now you're getting franchise tag money.
Right. And you can't do that.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
Say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So it's interesting. I think that dynamic is going to continue to change. And there's some teams out there that have, definitely some decisions to make. I mean, the Giants didn't pick up Daniel Jones's 50-year option.
Right, right. Oh, there's a lot of examples.
Are they going to regret that? I don't know. I mean, is he great? No. Are they going to try to resign him?
But they're winning games.
Probably. I mean, you almost have to resign him at this point, don't you?
I would imagine. I mean, maybe it's not a bank-breaking deal, but they're not going to be picking in the top five, even though they lost yesterday. They don't have – what other options are there? I mean, you could trade for a Carr or a Garoppolo.
Yeah, you think you're
going to
get Jimmy G? Yeah.
Right. I mean, is that a lot better? I don't know. Can they have a wide receiver that could ever stay healthy and see if what you actually have at quarterback?
Speaking of which, the curse of the Giants receivers continues. Wandell Robinson, done for the year. Kadarius Toney, everybody was playing him yesterday in fantasy football. Oh, I got to play Kadarius Toney. This is his week. He goes out and pulls his hamstring.
Of course. Of course. I mean, I had to bring it up. I figured we'd talk about it in fantasy, but I've been sticking Wandell Robinson at the bottom of my always time's coming. There's great opportunity. Catches like 8 balls for 100. He's out for the year. Of course he is. It's unbelievable.
There is no position in football that is more cursed than Giants wide receiver.
Oh, man. I sure hope they don't. Well, I mean, the first pick with the Giants first-round pick, 18th overall, they select wide receiver out of USC, Jordan Addison. Oh, sorry, Jordan. Yep. You could have had a good career, but you just went to the danger zone. You went to the Bermuda Triangle. It's over.
They got to put those guys in bubble wrap.
Yeah. I actually heard somebody say this, and I don't know if there's any truth to it or not, but I guess the turf in New York.
It's awful. It's the worst
hates.
In the league.
It's the worst in the league, and it's two home fields in freaking New York City. Like, it should be the best in the league. I don't know if that contributes to it or not, but it's an unbelievable.
I know I've talked to players over the years, and they 100% believe that the turf there has caused injuries. Because. I mean, in fact, there was a poll that came out from the NFLPA. It wasn't a poll. I think it was just the turf in these stadiums needs to be replaced. And it was there. I think there are four or five stadiums. That was obviously one of them. Cincinnati was another one.
Really?
I can't remember where else they had that similar turf. But that one in New York is just, I mean, it's jumped up and gotten the turf monster several players over the years. You know, think about the Zach Banner injury a few years ago where he's just
just
plants his leg and boom, it catches and that's it. And his career was never the same.
And these multi-billion-dollar corporations, that makes me insane. You know, the old Raider turf or can't find the x-ray machine when Ben gets hurt. Like, none of those things should ever happen. Like, I can kind of get it when you watch one of these overseas games and be like, this turf isn't built for 300-pounders running into each other. It's built for a bunch of little guys running around. But an NFL turf that isn't A-plus to me is egregiously a problem.
It's the NFL. I mean,
yeah, this is a Grand Valley State.
And I know a lot of people to that would say that, well, my high school has that turf. Yeah.
It's high school. Okay.
You got a bunch of guys out there running.
Unlimited budget.
Yeah, you guys got a bunch of guys out there running four or fives or better and running into each other. And no, you don't.
No.
Or 280-pound guys who can, you know, bend the corner like these guys can. No. That's like putting a Ferrari on a dirt track. You know, you just don't do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you don't do it.
I want to see a Ferrari go fast. I don't want to see it spin out into the woods. You know, it's exactly what it is.
You can subscribe now to episodes of The Drive. Every episode that we do are available for you to download. Subscribe today through the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you find your podcast. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Fantasy Football Focus. I know we talked a little fantasy there. We always do. But we'll talk some more here exclusively when we return right after this.